Please turn in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 19 through 21. And in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1002, just these three verses, verses 19 through 21 of the 6th chapter of Matthew. We read the verses in unison, and shall we please rise together for the reading of God's Word. All right, begin with me, please, there with the 19th verse. Ready? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the text verse is that 21st verse, which we shared in reading. And let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon us in a very special way in this service. How we thank thee for thy word and how it really lives in this place, in the lives of those who come, how we praise thee for its preaching. We pray that you'd bless it toward our living and toward our help. As Brother Hiles comes, we pray for thy spirit's fullness to be upon him and thy power to be in our midst during this preaching service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I want to help you this morning. Would you please listen to me? The truth that I'm going to leave with you this morning is one of the most important for anybody, saved or unsaved. I'm going to talk this morning on the subject. You must keep interested if you want to keep interesting. You must keep interested if you want to keep interesting. Please give me your attention. I believe, honestly, that you will find one of the great secrets to the joy of my own life. Everybody likes to share the good things that they have. You like to tell of some wonderful experience. You like to tell of some place you've been. You like to show off a new car or a new dress or a new suit. You like to share good news you've heard. This morning I'm going to share with you something that you need to hear, and I believe it'll help you, so please give me a hearing. Father, help me to help my people this morning, and those who are my people adopted for this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have turned 3 million miles on airplanes not long ago. Over 3 million miles I've flown, preaching the gospel all over this country and in some cases in many foreign countries. I have met during these tours many what we would call famous and important people. The movie star, Jimmy Stewart. The basketball player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The football player, George Blanda. The Hall of Fame baseball player, Stan Musial. The one-time President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. All of these I've met and talked with on airplanes. The late Senator Everett Dirksen and the late Senator Montoya of the Watergate Investigating Committee. One day I was flying to the Southland. I had a stopover in Lexington, Kentucky. While I was flying, I looked across the aisle and saw one of my heroes. I couldn't believe it, but it was Adolf Rupp. Who is Adolf Rupp? Adolf Rupp is the man who's won more college basketball games as a coach than any other coach in the history of college basketball. I talked with him briefly. He got off at Lexington, for that's where he lived, I think. And I got off just for a few minutes to walk around, stretch a bit while the plane was reloading. And I went to the men's washroom, and he was there in the washroom when I got there. And I said, "Mr. Rupp, I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I followed you. I think you're a marvelous coach, and I think a good man. But I said, understand, you've retired recently." And he said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Did you choose to retire?" "No," he said, "I came to the mandatory retirement age where I had to retire." And his lips began to quiver, this older man. And I said, "Mr. Rupp, what are you going to do now?" and this gruff old basketball coach, this disciplinarian, a tear moistened his cheek and his lips quivered when I asked the question, what are you going to do now that you've retired? And he said, I guess I'll die. I guess I'll die. I picked up the newspaper not many days later, and it said Adolph Rupp, the famous basketball coach, had passed away. It's not easy to grow old. Who's growing old? The young couple whose children went off, last child went off to school, now no child's at home. Who's growing old? The couple whose youngest child graduated from grade school, went to junior high school this year. Who's growing old? The folks who said goodbye to their youngest child to go to college this year. Who's growing old? The man is going to say goodbye to his youngest daughter this coming Friday night. It's not easy to grow old, is it? We all feel like we're growing old. When I passed 30, I felt older than I feel right now. I look much younger now, too. It does sort of make you sick, doesn't it? But not easy. When the print begins to blur in the paper and your arms seem to need to grow, they get shorter and shorter when you try to read it. When you'd rather watch a ball game than play one, the skin around your neck gets loose and you start wearing high neck and turtlenecks. And the crows leave their footprints beside your eyes. You can tell hours before the rain begins to fall that it's going to fall. But there's something that you can do to keep young. What is it? You can stay interested. You can stay interested. The reason Adolph Rupp said, I guess I'll die, is because his interest was gone. The thing in which he'd invested his life was gone. He said, I guess I'll die. You can stay interested, and thereby you can stay interesting. Now please listen carefully. Have you noticed how many people die shortly after retirement? Have you noticed how many people have their health to break completely shortly after they retire? Now, that's the reason I dabble in so many things. I got so many things going, and that's one reason I do. For example, I read the paper. When I'm in a strange city, as I am every Monday, I'll leave tomorrow and fly to Alabama. Last week I was somewhere, I forget where I was last week, but I know where I was. I was down in near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and out in... then to Pennsylvania and Connecticut and New York and then to California. I've been to California 4 or 5 times this spring, and up in Washington, Oregon. But I always, first thing I do, get me a newspaper and I read it. I read all of it. I read on Monday afternoon. I read every dog that's lost, Fido lost, and then on ad, you know, reward. If the reward's big enough, I start looking for Fido. And I read all the announcements about the weddings. I read the sport pages. I read the classified section. I find what houses are for rent, how much houses sell for. You say, Brother House, why do you do that? I read who's getting married, when they're getting married, and so forth. You say, why? Because I want to keep interested. When you lose your interest, you get old, and you begin to deteriorate, and life doesn't hold very much for you. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm 52 years of age, but I'm not going to get old. I refuse to get old. I will not get old. I just won't do it. I'm going to keep interested. I'm not going to put me on the shelf. I'll jump off the shelf. I may fall off, but I'll get off. I'll guarantee you. I'm not going to be on the shelf. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? I'm not ever going to retire. Well, you're going to go to heaven someday. I'm going to preach in heaven. I'll guarantee you. Won't be heaven if I can't preach. I'm a little worried about heaven anyway, because you can't give an invitation for sinners to get saved. And a little worried about that. Nobody to witness to? Are you going to be there? There will be one to witness to, then. But I'm going to stay busy. You know, Cindy is marrying Friday night, and that's the last of our children, Becky and David and Linda and now Cindy, all be gone. And I'll miss her. I'll miss her. I'm waiting to ride home with me every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. 24 years ago, David started waiting to ride home with me because I stay in countless long after the services, morning and night and Wednesday night, 24 years ago. And when David, when Jezebel came along and married David, then Cindy started, and she's been waiting for me, and I'll miss that. I'll miss the late night talks we have. I'm not home very much, but I get home at night, and every night we always have some little late night talk. I'll miss her running to the door always when I leave, running to the door to say goodbye. I'll miss that. But I'm not folding. I want to serve notice on you. The old man's got some kick left still. I'm not folding. I'm going to keep interested. I'm going to keep activities. I got a book I'm writing. I plan to finish it this summer. Nelson Publishers asked me to publish the Hiles New Testament, to make notes on the New Testament. I'm starting on that right away. I'm not folding. I've got interest. We're going to start a church over in Gary for our black friends. We're going to build the biggest black church in America right over in Gary. And we're going to start that this year sometime. And I'm not folding. I mean, I'm not. Dr. Evans and I have been talking lately about how to spend some more of your money. And we're not through yet. No, sir. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hold off the house slippers. They don't fit me. I don't want them. Hold off the bathrobe. Hold off the reclining chair. Don't want it yet. Hey, hold off the golf clubs. I don't want to swing them yet. Wait a minute. Hold off the bowling league. I don't want to do it yet. Hold off the Florida retirement plan. Not yet. Hold off the fishing pole. Not yet. Why? Because I'm going to keep interested in life. I've got some things I want to do. And as long as you can keep interested, you'll keep interesting. And you won't get old. Okay. So the children are grown. Don't fold up. Keep interested. That's the secret to life. The children are grown. Okay. They're grown. They're gone. Okay. But don't fold up. Keep interested. Okay, so your husband passed away, and the table is an empty place at the table, empty place in the bed, the lonely place in your heart. Okay, so he's gone. The husband's passed away, and he's gone. Okay, don't fold up. There's still some life. Keep interested. Keep active. Keep doing things. Join the WMS circle. Teach a Sunday school class. Join the Foster Club. Get some good friends and stay busy. Don't give up. Keep interested. Okay, so all of a sudden, when you weren't expecting it, he said he was leaving, and he's gone, and the home is broken. You think life has ended. No, life hasn't ended. Keep interested. Keep some activities. You said, Brother House, how can I stay interested? How can I have interest? I don't know how. You can do what the Bible says. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I'm not saying this morning, I'm not preaching a sermon on tithing. Now, I'm not preaching on giving. But I'm saying, if you want to keep interested in something, you invest in that something. Turn me down just a trifle. A little bit of whistle. You invest in something. That's what you put your money in the bank. And you earn what? Interest. Isn't that an interesting word? You earn interest. Interest. That means your money is in the Hoosier State Bank. You have an interest in the Hoosier State Bank. I'm not a horse race enthusiast. I keep up with it because I keep up with everything in sports. Good night, I can tell you who the tennis champions are, the golf champions, and the marble champions, and the badminton champions, and the goodminton champions. I can tell you all of them. I know about Spectacular Bid and all the way back to Seabiscuit and War Admiral. I keep up with it, but I don't go to a horse race. And it seems sort of dumb to me how somebody could. I was on an airplane today from California, and a fellow flew all the way from Los Angeles, California, to Louisville, Kentucky, to watch horses run for 2 minutes. I can't understand it, sir. I said, can you tell me why you would take a whole week off and fly from California to Louisville to sit there for 2 minutes? I've been preaching for 10 for 2 minutes and watch some horses run. And he said, how did you why? He said, I got some money invested in is it Bold Pastor? Great Pastor? What's that horse's name? Tell me. Huh? No, not Bold Venture. Pastor. Flying Pastor, right. Flying Pastor, you were afraid to tell me. You knew, but you were afraid. He said, I've got some money invested in Flying Pastor. And that's not Flying Pastor, Paster, what it is. I said, I'm Flying Pastor myself. And he said, you can invest some money in me if you want to. But he said, I got some money.
And boy, you know, he said it makes a difference. He said, sir, if you went to the horse race and sat there and looked at it, he said you wouldn't be too interested. You wouldn't care who won. But he said, boy, I got some money on Flying Pacer. And he said, now I get there. He said, boy, they play that trumpet and that race, the gate opens and that race starts. He said, boy, that's my money walking there or running there. And I'll scream, and it better be running or walking. I'll scream, hey, Flying Pacer, hey, what's the difference?
He's got something invested.
The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hold it. Hold it. It doesn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. It doesn't say get your heart in it and then put your treasure. No, sir. It says if you want to get your heart in something, you put your treasure there first. Treasure first, then heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you want to be excited about something and be interested in something, you invest yourself in that something. My good friend Russell Anderson, he invests in gold. The other name of Howells Anderson College, the poor and the rich are in that name, and Anderson is the rich, and I'm the other one. But we'll be together on a trip somewhere, and he'll be saying, I got to check the price of gold. Got to check the price of gold. I couldn't care how much gold is. I keep up with it, but it doesn't bother me a great deal. He said, hey, Brother Howells, gold is up to $256 an ounce. I'll say, wonderful. It's great. He'll say, you know how much I just made between yesterday and now? I'll say, no. He'll say, man, I made $30,000 just on that one thing. And I couldn't care less, unless maybe he writes a check to Howells. And are you listening, Russell? Howells Anderson College or something. But you see, I'm not interested in that. I don't check every morning to see what the price of gold is. Price of 10 maybe, but not gold. Now what? I have no interest there. I have no investment there. But Russell Anderson does. Listen, if you want to grow old, just don't invest in anything. Just don't give your life to anything. Just don't do anything for anybody else. And you'll grow old. But if you want to keep interested, you keep investing. Invest your time. Invest your money. Invest your life. And you'll stay young. Why? Because you'll keep interested in something. I graduated from college. Just wanted to make that announcement. But I've been now, good than that, almost 30 years ago since I got my degree. On my graduation day, now please don't feel sorry for me, fellas. But it was graduation day, and I was walking in the chapel. Let me go back first. When I was in college, about halfway through college, my Uncle Harvey heard that I was having a tough time. And he called and asked me to come to see him the next time I was in Dallas. And so I went to Dallas and saw Uncle Harvey. Uncle Harvey said to me, he said, son, I'm going to start investing $100 a month in you. In the last couple of years or so I was in college, Uncle Harvey sent me $100 every month. Graduation day came. I was standing outside the chapel of East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas, waiting to march. I was a bit lonely. I had received no graduation gifts. There had been no open house. I had received not as much as a card congratulating me for graduating. And I was about to graduate. And as I stood outside the chapel, ready to march in, not one single person from Dallas or our relatives had come. And I was just about to march in. And up the hill, drove a big black Cadillac. And I said, that's Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy. And in the back was my mother. Uncle Harvey had gotten his chauffeur to drive him in his big black Cadillac. All of it had gifts and open houses and everything. And I hadn't even had an open apartment. And all of them, and I said, hey, look at there. Guess who they're coming to see? That black Cadillac. Look, none of the graduates had a chauffeur bring their relatives up. And there sat my Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy and my mother. I wonder why Uncle Harvey had gone to that trouble. I wonder why he had left his interest, his multi-million-dollar business, and driven 150 miles. I tell you why. He wanted to see his investment. His interest was there. Oh, listen to me. You get a little Sunday school class and invest your life in that class. Or you get you a soul-winning group and invest your life in that soul-winning group. Or you get you, you invest your life in those children. Or you find some poor people and you invest your life in feeding their hungry bodies and clothing their hungry bodies and satisfying their needs. You invest your life. You will find you will be interested and you will be interesting. There are many houses in this world. My favorite houses, I guess, maybe 100 of them, I helped to build. While I was in college, I was a carpenter. I laid oak floor on the side. I love to drive by those houses and say, I helped build those. I still enjoy those houses. Why? Because I invested my life in those houses. There are many college graduates in the world. But let me tell you, there's no college graduates to me in the whole world. Forgive me, you Trinity students, but forgive me. But to me, there's no graduates in the world like those that sat here last Friday night. None. None. You know why? Every time a student came by, I wanted to stand up and holler and say, I know something about him. I saw a few trousers legs underneath those gowns that I'd bought. I gave away a few diplomas, students whose tuition I'd paid. And practically every one of them walked across the platform, have been to my office, and I've counseled about their future. And I'm interested. People often say, Brother House, why do you weep when you preach? I'll tell you why I weep. I've got so many interests. That's why. Last night I stood here on the platform last night and married this fine couple, and memories flooded my soul. They wrote me little notes before the wedding. And he said, thank you, Brother House, for providing the purest wife a bride a man could have. And she said, Brother House, we love you. And the note, and she said, we want to give you what we believe is the thing you'd rather have than anything in the world. She said, we're pure. We're pure. We've kept ourselves pure like you'd want us to. Over here in the waiting room, over here, Brother Wayne Cowling was the best man. And he called me over the side, whispered in my ear so the groom couldn't hear me. And he said, preacher, he said, I know this to be a fact. Neither one of these have ever been kissed yet. They've not even kissed each other. I could tell it. When time came to kiss last night, they didn't know how. They didn't come like they were going to swallow an apple. They went like that. Like you'd kiss mama goodbye when you go play ball in the afternoon or something. Or kiss your sister when your mama made you do it. I went back to my office and I clapped my hands and took off my shoes and said, blessed be God. Blessed be God. You sit with the house. Why do you weep? Why do you shout? Why do you get happy? I don't know why. I've given 52 years. What? Have a lot of interest. There are many young preachers in this world, and I love them all if they preach the truth, but there are a few that are a little extra special to me, and that's those few that I've in whom I've invested, my preacher boys. There are many churches in the world, but the churches that mean the most to me are those that I've served. Listen, folks, some of you are going to be old, crabby senior citizens one of these days. You're not going to have anything to rejoice in. You're going to just sit there and rock? I don't know and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. That's what you're going to do when you get old. No interest. Kids knock a ball in your yard. You'll, hey, get that ball out of my yard. You ought to get out and play ball with them, stupid. No interest. Crabby. How you feel today, Grandma?
Oh, I feel terrible. Don't feel good. I feel bad all day.
I can tell you how you can feel good. Get interested.
Don't lose your interest. Get in something. Join something. Do something. Invest in something. Take your savings and put it in something. And get you a horse you're betting on.
I know some people. The other night, during our high school graduation, I know some people invested in a horse. A lady walks across to get her diploma. I saw a man sitting back over here that paid her way through high school. He wanted to jump up and down and cheer. His horse came in. Finished. Yeah.
Yeah, invested. Invested where your treasure is. You're in, and by the way, treasure is only time. Because how much money you give is just giving the time it took you to earn that money. So give your time. Give your effort. Be interested in something. Invest in something. And you'll find yourself pulling for some kind. It may be a graduating horse from Hiles Anderson College. It may be a senior a horse in Hammond Baptist High School. It may be next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock when we have the commencement for the bus kids. Numbers of you people have invested in one or more of those little bus kids, and a few of them, not many, walk across the platform and get their diplomas from Hammond City Baptist High School. And you'll be blessed. Why? Because you invested, and that's how you stayed interested. And I don't know about you, but I plan to keep on investing. I plan to keep on being interested. And if I can, I think I can keep on being interesting. I plan to keep on investing. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Some of you young people going off to fields of service now. Don't just go and sit and be a spectator. Wherever you go, get involved. Get involved. Meet friends and go to activities and be a part and invest. We have some students that graduated from here last Friday night. They can't wait to get out. They want to leave. We have other students that graduated. It's destroying them to leave. What's the difference? One student came to college, just hung around 4 years to get a degree. But others invested. They got busy. They got active. I was thinking this morning early, I don't know why, I was thinking about Brother Linton. Is it Gary? Gary Linton? And what's his wife's name? Patsy, Gary and Patsy Linton. Gary pastored a church down in Florida. He felt like he needed more training. Came to Hiles Anderson College. They hit here joining stuff. Well, they joined the church one day and joined the choir the next. And they've been a part. They've invested themselves in this church. They have become interested in the work of this church. Did you see her the other day in that clown outfit? No, not the one she has on this morning. The one she had on the other day. Did you see her? Now you sit for the house. What are you saying? I'm saying as you leave and go to other places. Listen, you high school graduates going off to college, you get interested. You get active. I told our girls when they went to Hiles Anderson College, told Linda, I said, honey, it won't be easy now for you to be a part of the college because you are a local student. You'll come home at night to sleep. If you don't watch out, those who live on the campus will feel like they're more part of the college and you feel like a visitor out there. Now I said, Putin, I want you to get busy. I want you to go to the activities. I want you to stay out there and study in the study hall some. I want you to be a part of the college life. Be a collegian. Though you're living at home, I want you to be a part of that college. I said, that's the way you'll get a husband. I don't want living around my house eating at my table all of these for all the rest of her life. And sure enough, one of the finest young men out there. She met because she got interested and got active and became a part and invested her life in it. And now she's married to him. They're expecting a baby next month, the month after next. I told Cindy, I said, Puddin. Cindy's Puddin number three. Becky's Puddin number one. Linda's Puddin number two. David was chocolate Puddin. But I said, Cindy, I Puddin. I said, when you go out to the college, I don't want you just to be a go to class and come home. I want you to get interested. I want you to be a part. I want you to invest yourself out there. I want you to go to the activities. I want you to sing in some group, singing groups. I want you to stay in the study hall. I want you to eat sometime at the college, in the college dining room hall. I want you to go to the Liberty Square where they eat. Liberty Square and get you a sandwich and a milkshake or something. And I want you to go to the activities and be a part of the school and invest your life out there. She did. And I say this seriously. She met one of the finest young men. That has been the case in all of our girls. I could not have picked myself a finer husband for each of them. And Friday night, she will reap the fruit of her investing her life in the college. I'm talking this morning to some ladies, and you don't know what in the world you're going to do from now on.
You had your whole life wrapped up in him, and he's gone now. Death has taken him. Maybe sin has taken him, and he's gone now. And you feel like, what's the use? What can I do? Where do I go from here?
Get busy in something. Invest in something. Ladies, take some of that insurance money and find you a student, and you send that student through school, and you'll find yourself getting interested. And that student graduates. You'll be sitting down here on the front during the commencement exercises because you've invested your life. That's the way you stay young, and that's the way you keep happy. You invest and invest and keep interested. If you're new here, jump in. It's a big church, big place, but jump in. Act like you're part of the place. Become a part of it. Get busy. Find out when soul winning is and go. Get you a Sunday school class or join the Foster Club or join the Fisherman's Club or go to the WMS circles or come to the WMS general meetings or go to the mother-daughter banquets. And when something's announced, go there. When there's an ordination service, go. When there's a graduation service, go. When something's going on, go. Don't sit at home and rot. I'm not going to do it. You can if you want to, but I'm not going to do it. The last breath I breathe, I'm breathing my lungs and kicking with my foot. Why? I want to keep interested. Say, why? How are you going to do it? I'm going to keep investing. We were home for a few days in Texas 15 years ago or so. We were staying at Mother's house. A call came and said, Jack, would you rush to Bader Hospital, please? Uncle Harvey's dying. It was late at night. Seems like almost all the loved ones die in the morning hours. I rushed to Bader Hospital. Uncle Harvey was dying in a suite of rooms that he had purchased. On the outside door it said, this suite built and furnished by H.J. Harris. And H.J. Harris was lying in there on his deathbed. There was a lovely sitting room out here, and the family was all there. And he was in a beautiful room, if a death room can be beautiful. The nurse was there with him, and he was breathing his last breath. I'll never forget the old man. One time in his life, he had to have a leg cut off. He had a stroke, and circulation was gone, had to have a leg amputated. And after the leg was amputated, I walked in, and I wanted to know what to say to him. And I said, Uncle, how do you feel? And the old man looked up, and he said, Son, I've discovered a way to cure ingrowing toenails. Ah, what a way to live. Good night. What a way to live. The nurse came out and said, Mr. Harris has gone into a coma. There was Rupert, his son. There was Harva, his older daughter. And there was Dorothy, his younger daughter. Rupert walked in the room, and the nurse was there, and Rupert said, Hello, Dad. Uncle Harvey didn't open an eye, nod a head. He was in a coma. The nurse said. Rupert came out, tears streaming down his cheeks, and Harvey walked in. Hello, Daddy. Uncle Harvey didn't move. She walked out weeping, and Dorothy walked in and said, Daddy, this is Dorothy. He made no response at all. I said to the nurse, Could I come in? She said, Who are you? And I said, I'm his nephew, but very close, like a son. And I walked in, and the nurse, he was in a coma, and the nurse said, Oh, you're his preacher nephew. He's told me all about. And I said, I'm more than that. I'm his friend and his buddy. And his eyes opened, and a smile came across his face, and he shook his head and went to heaven. You know what opened his eyes? His investment. Huh? A horse he was betting on came in the room. Yeah. That's the way you keep happy. That's the way you keep interested. You put your time and your money and your treasure and stay busy and invest yourself and spend your life and do things. you'll keep happy, busy, until you die. This morning in this room, there's some people who've never received Christ as Savior. You've got to first invest your life in Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give myself. That's the first investment that you make. Brother Bordway, the thing I've been thinking about ever since Friday afternoon, those people out at the Los Angeles airport waiting at that gate for their loved ones. I've gone into gate 42 in the Los Angeles airport dozens of times. I was there three times this spring. And I read and heard about those loved ones that went out early to meet that airplane. I hadn't heard about the crash and went out there. And there they were sitting waiting for loved ones that would never arrive. There are young folks in this room this morning who have moms and daddies who are here. And one day they're going to go to heaven, but you'll never arrive. You've never invested your life in Christ. May I tell you this morning, honestly, I'm not preaching to you. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm telling you the conviction of my soul. Listen, invest your life in Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior, and you'll reap dividends forever. But also, when you've trusted Him, then you keep investing and keep interested and keep investing and keep interested. And you'll have a life, not only eternal life, but until that day comes when this caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And this cocoon opens itself and we arise in His likeness. Not only will you have eternal life then, but you will have life abundantly now. For where your treasure is, or your treasure is, there will your interest be also. Our Heavenly Father.